scores! Gilmore scores! The ball cleaned
off the glass, it looks corner to Aguilar. Aguilar left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by Aguilar. Rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
Ooh, what a day it has been. Baby. Welcome to the Scotiabank Saddledome on this Friday, April 19th, Locker Cleanout Day 2024. As we are underway on Flames Talk this hour, Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockandSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution. It's Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson along with you on this Friday edition of Flames Talk from the Scotiabank Saddledome, where 2024 Locker Cleanout has officially wrapped up, Wes. They started on this Friday morning at around 9:30 a.m. is when our first conversation with Rasmus Anderson was, and it just went rapid fire for about three straight hours.
Yeah, then did we, it ever.
And then we slowed down a little bit, and then Ryan Huska and Craig Conroy. By the way, if you haven't heard our exclusive conversations with both the head coach and the general manager, they are up wherever you get your podcasts on the Flames Talk feed right now. Some really good insight from both the GM and the head coach on this Friday. But, Wes, let's, maybe start to scratch the surface on dissecting what the heck we heard on Friday in Locker Cleanout. Let's go inside hockey for Calgary Co-op. It's that time to stock up for the celebrations that matter with ingredients that help make memories. Visit Calgary Co-op, where life's in store. We're available wherever you get your podcasts. We're also accessible via text if you're listening live at 960-960. We'd love your input. We'd love to hear from you on this Friday program. But, you know, I came here... got here. I think I was the second person here. Wes Gilbertson was the first person here. I rolled in at about 20 after 8, and the first thing that I was coming to hear was Jacob Markstrom.
Yeah.
And when Jacob appeared, the way they did it and the way they've done this for the last few years, just to pull the curtain back a little bit, over in the Ed Whalen Media Lounge, they've got a podium set up with a microphone or two microphones, depending on if they're doing one or two players at the same time. Then we all sit in chairs facing the podium, and you can see off to the right who's coming up next, because all of a sudden the next person or next people to the podium will start loitering off to the right. And so as soon as I saw Jacob Markstrom start loitering, I was like, oh boy, here we go. I think he was the fourth person or the fourth set to go, and he went by himself. And I this is just my interpretation. We got exactly what I thought we were going to get in that, you know, Jacob, who, as you said earlier this week, notoriously holds his cards close to the vest. And I think for the most part, he held his cards close to the vest once again, which I think for a lot of people is telling. The fact that he did hold cards close to the vest told a lot of people what they needed to know, or all they needed to know about the situation.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Well.
And I'm not saying that's how you feel or I feel, but
sure.
is that kind of what the sense you're getting is right now?
Well, and at risk of sort of dodging your question, here's the way that I would put it. The fact that Jacob Markstrom did not want to address it, the fact that he said, yeah, I talked to Craig Conroy and I'll leave it at that, what he's done is leave the door open to an entire summer now of speculation. If Jacob Markstrom wanted to put that all to rest, he certainly could have come to the podium. And it wouldn't have necessarily quieted all the trade talk, but he could have sat at the podium today and said, I want to be in Calgary. This is the only place I am thinking about playing. My plan is to be here next fall for training camp. We didn't hear any of that, right? Now, I thought Jacob Markstrom did a good job of stick handling around the subject enough that if he is at training camp in the fall, there's not the storyline of, hey, didn't you say, you know, you had to be traded, you wanted to be traded, you didn't want to, like, he didn't make any proclamations on either side of it.
Yep.
But I just wonder, because of how close Jacob always plays it, I wonder how much we can really read into what we heard today, which sort of amounted in some ways to none of your beeswax.
Well, why don't we let you be the judge of that? This is Jacob Markstrom, part of his conversation with us and here at Locker Cleanout Day on this Friday at the Dome. And first question, or one of the first questions he was asked, is how does he see himself fitting into the future, knowing this team might be going in a different direction?
I mean, I don't know, but you know what I do know and what I tell you guys every day is, you know, I love winning hockey games, and you know, I think you know, that's the competitive side of me. It's you know, that's every time I lace up the skates, that's something I urge and I want to accomplish. You want to win hockey games, and I know everyone in that locker room want to win hockey games too. So it's you know, that's pretty much, you know, where my head is at right now. It's you know, it's been a long season, and you know, short season, and you know, playoff starts, what is it, tomorrow?
Yeah,
and it's, you know, something you want to be a part of, and but now you gotta watch it on TV, and you know, it's frustrating, but also you gotta go home, get to go home to Sweden and spend time with the family. I've been away from my son for way too much, if you ask my wife, but that's gonna be nice, and to spend some time with them.
Have you had a good talk? Did you have a good talk today with Craig Conroy about your future here?
I think season just ended, and you know, we you know, I saw Connie, and you know, I'll leave it at that.
You expressed some frustration with how things were handled up above. You said earlier on, how better could that have been handled in your mind?
Well, in my mind, it could have been, you know, obviously, you know, I'm here now. So it, all the rambling could have been not happening. That's kind of, you know, all the talks and all the stuff that was going on throughout the season, and, you know, starting early in the season till the deadline day, pretty much could have been, you know, not happening, and just me focusing on hockey. That's what I would have appreciated if, because, you know, obviously I'm still here. So it's, you know, to me, to just be able to focus on the team and trying to play as good as I can, it's, you know, without any distractions, that I think what I was, you know, mostly pointing at.
Jacob, at any point in time this season, were you led to believe that you were going to be a New Jersey Devil?
I don't know. I just read what you guys are writing, so.
Okay, but yeah. You were never led to believe that by management or anything like that?
I mean, I'm not going to go into details here on stage with a bunch of cameras. Whatever, you know, we talked about, stayed between us, and, you know, that's how it's going to be. I'm not going to, you know, share personal conversation I have with the management.
There's been a lot of speculation from the outside that your relationship with the team is strained because of what happened around the trade deadline. Is that, like, to say it's strained, is that an accurate way to put it, or no?
I would hope no. I would say no. And I think, you know, after I answered your question and at the deadline, after Tanny got traded there, and, you know, reading about news about me in the media, I think, you know, I addressed the team the next day. You know, I wanted, as soon as I got to the rink the next morning, I addressed the team because I want them to know everything that's going on and how I feel and what I was pointing at is, you know, has nothing against, I love every single player in the team, and I love the coaching staff and the medical and the strength and conditioning and the trainers. So, you know, they have, you know, this is my home and been for 4 years. So I got a, you know, great relationship, and I take pride in, you know, who I am as a person.
That is Jacob Markstrom, all of his addressing of the future and what may or may not be coming down the pipe for him as a member or not a member of the Calgary Flames. I guess for and text line, I'm curious as to what you heard there, 960, 960. What did you hear there? What do you – are you reading between lines? Are you taking things at face value? How do you interpret what we just heard there in 3.5 minutes of Jacob Markstrom?
After what I heard today, while I heard Jacob Markstrom answer my question and say that the relationship he doesn't believe is strained, I don't know. It sure feels strained to me. And, you know, as much in what he didn't say, and I would say, you know, there's a bit of a strained relationship. I shouldn't even say a bit. There's certainly a strained relationship between Jacob Markstrom and the media as well, locally. And I don't think he was going to tell us a whole lot today, no matter what was said, in that exit meeting, whether it was all rainbows, whether it was bad news, whether he won the 50-50 last night, whatever it was going to be, I don't think we were going to get a ton. And when I say that, I just want to clarify this, when I say that I think part of the strain is with the media, I just think because we didn't chat with Jacob a lot this season, and it seems like whenever we did, it was about the trade rumors and some of the speculation. I just think he, and understandably so, you know, got sick of those conversations. And listen, I get it, but I don't think through that scope we were going to get a ton out of Jacob today. It was more about what we didn't hear that leads me to believe that he would certainly welcome a change of scenery. Yeah. What was your read?
I guess my read was because there was no squashing, because there was no, I don't want to be in New Jersey, I don't want, and I wasn't expecting it, but because there was no, I'm a Calgary Flame, I'm under contract for the next 2 years, and you know, going down that road and being very adamant, and even if it wasn't fully the truth, sometimes you hear that from guys, because a lot was left up to interpretation, and I think all your reasons are very valid. I think that potentially the relationship is strained between the team and the player. Definitely the relationship is strained between player and us, the media, and that's not a criticism. It's honestly not a criticism on Jacob at all, because
agreed.
I'd get worn out too if all I was hearing about was, hey, what about you going this place? Or you know what I'm saying? Like, it was so rarely there for a two-month span was he being asked about his play, or was he being asked about the way the team is playing? There was just a lot of, and that's the job of what we do. But I think if you're a player, you probably get worn out on that. And then Jacob, being a very smart individual, came into today knowing exactly the questions he was going to get and knowing that he was going to get a couple of fluffy ones, but, you know, that everybody was going to be guns a-blazing trying to figure out about his what his future held.
Yeah.
And I think he came in saying, I'm not addressing it. As he said, I'm not getting into it with cameras on a podium here, that we're not getting into it. And so because of all that, because he didn't get into it, even though I wasn't expecting him to, I guess it doesn't change where I already was, and that is that I think that he would prefer a different destination. Nothing has changed from where I was on Thursday night compared to where I am on Friday night, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and let's just, you know, so it doesn't sound like we're picking on Jacob for what he didn't say. You know, Craig Conroy was also given an opportunity in his press conference to state that he wouldn't trade Jacob or wasn't going to test the trade market for his number one goalie. And I don't remember precisely how that question was worded, but he wasn't going there either. He said, time will tell, right? And that wasn't him throwing Jacob's equipment out the back door of the Saddle Dome, but he also left that door cracked open. And so, you know, if you were expecting answers either way on Jacob's definitely going to be back or Jacob's definitely a goner, I think you're just left trying to decipher what was said and what wasn't. And my best guess, buddy, is the same as yours. And I realize, and I know people like to keep receipts on this stuff. I just said earlier in the week that I thought there was a good chance Jacob Markstrom would be back to start next season. And yet I did add the caveat that I wanted to hear what he had to say today. And certainly if you gave me $100 and told me I had to bet on Markstrom here or gone in the summer, I'd be putting it on gone today.
Yeah, yeah, and look, I'm not going to sit here and start speculating about what was said in those exit meetings. I think that's irresponsible. But I guess just listening to Jacob and understanding where things have been, I think the Flames have been aware for quite some time that Jacob's preference would be to be on a team. And he did say this. He wants to win hockey games, and he wants to be in a situation where he's winning. I think the Flames have been aware of that preference for quite some time. Whether it's been formally delivered in a sealed envelope that says, I would like to be on team with X amount of wins or X percentage chance of winning Stanley Cup. No, I don't think so. But I think that whether it be via the representative, Pat Morris, or via Jacob himself, there has been an awareness that, yeah, being part of a retool, being part of a step back or a pivot with 2 years left at the age of 34 is not necessarily what Jacob was signed up for or had signed up for. And if he had his druthers and if he called the shots, then he would probably be at this point on a team that had a better chance of winning. And I think that you know, you could say to me all day long, well, yeah, but what player wouldn't feel that way? Very true. Nothing false about that statement, but context is important. And in this case, Jacob Markstrom was the subject of all kinds of trade rumors leading up to the trade deadline, which was not the Flames' fault. That was not something that they put out there or leaked out there. They didn't want that being part of the conversation. They didn't want that being part of the public's narrative on a daily basis in Calgary. But because that happened, because he's got 2 years left on his contract, because we know there's at least one team and there will be likely others who truly covet his services, because of all those reasons, it is a little bit different because they are going in a different direction and they are looking to build themselves for the future. So all those things come into play when I say, yeah, I mean, I think that the most likely scenario here is that he does end up playing elsewhere. And the most likely scenario is here that they do end up obliging that, I don't know if it's a request, but just obliging that desire for him to be on a team that is closer to winning or closer to competing at the highest level.
Yeah, and I think
does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think like the thing that's important to remember on this day especially is it's quite a balancing act for some of these players to try to explain the fact that they'd like to play on a winning team without it sounding like they're burying Calgary or vice versa, right? I thought, and I'm sure we'll get more into this, I thought what we heard today was overwhelmingly optimistic from the players. I really thought we heard a lot of positivity, a lot of optimism. You know, the guy I think about is Rasmus Anderson, who said, I don't want to sugarcoat it. Like, I want, this is how old I am, and I want to win. And you could tell that Rasmus was trying to make sure that it didn't sound like that was him saying, get me out of Calgary. But this is a, you know, what we want in the media is honest answers. And what you hear, especially with sort of the raw emotion that can accompany a day like today, is guys trying to make sure that they're providing that honesty while also making it, you know, making certain that they're not going to get a bunch of text messages from teammates saying, hey, did you really say this? And so it's really hard with Jacob, especially to read between the lines, but there was an opportunity to squash some of the speculation today, and for whatever reason, and my hunch is that the reason is that he wouldn't mind chasing a Stanley Cup, he didn't take that opportunity.
Yep. Three to few texts at 960, 960. I'm just going to skip the ridiculous ones that suggest that Calgary's the hardest media market in the NHL and we drive players out of town. I'm just going to skip those garbage, inaccurate texts. I would just love for you to go and spend 10 minutes in Toronto or Vancouver or Montreal and then tell us how the media is what drives players out of Calgary. I don't see Austin Matthews getting driven out of Toronto by a media that is 50,000 times more ruthless than what we are here. Anyway, I digress.
We could jump into social media if we had a few more hours, too, but we probably shouldn't.
Yeah, that's probably a fair assessment on your part. This says Markstrom will be gone. Upper management didn't commit to keeping him when he was asked to waive his no trade. This reads from Jeff in Calgary. He gone. This reads, if you're 34 and playing at a borderline Vezina level, you know you have limited time to stay at that level, and who's going to want to be part of a rebuild or retool in his situation? Very true, and I also think Markstrom understands the situation. Again, Jacob is a sharp tack. That is a very, very astute individual, and he knows that he's a good goalie.
Mm-hmm.
He knows he's coming off a very good season. He knows that he was coveted by at least one team, and there will probably be more interest in him during the offseason. I think he understands the situation, too, which would make it, I think, a little bit easier. Like, put yourself in, like I'll try to give an analogy, but, like, you know, say that you've got two people, and you've got Pat and Wes, and they both are on a radio program podcast, and the one guy is really good but is on a week-to-week contract, and the other guy just signed a 7-year long-term big-money deal, and the ratings are floundering. Well, it's going to be a whole lot easier for Wes, who signed the shorter contract and who's really, really good, to go get another job elsewhere, as opposed to the guy who just signed this big deal and then isn't delivering on that deal. And so, Jacob, I don't know if that's a good analogy or not. But
no, because I didn't fit either criteria, the really good or the big money contract. And so I personally had trouble following.
So Jacob is in a situation where he knows he has value, as opposed to other players who may also not want to be a part of a retool, but know that you know when you're coveted. You know when other teams are interested in you. And Jacob knows the situation, so I think he understands he's got a little bit more leverage when he says, or if he says, I would be more interested playing on a more competitive team.
Yeah, absolutely. But let's not miss this part of the equation, which is that, well, we're going to sit here today and debate, okay, well, what did Jacob mean? What did Craig Conroy mean when he answered that question? And it's going to be a storyline all through the summer. What you heard today was not necessarily a bad thing for the Calgary Flames, because it really keeps the options open, and it maintains some leverage, right? If Jacob Markstrom made it really clear today that he wanted out of Calgary, well, guess what? It's hard to make sure that you get the proper value in a trade, because the other team knows that you're between a rock and a hard place.
Yep.
If Craig Conroy made it clear today that, you know what, we're committed to go with a Dan Vladar and Dustin Wolf goalie tandem next year, well, guess what it's going to be really hard to do in the summer? Trade Jacob Markstrom. And so while I think that the initial reaction maybe for some listeners or maybe some media members is to think, oh, geez, like what a mess for the Flames. Jacob Markstrom wouldn't squash the speculation. Craig Conroy wouldn't commit to keeping him. Oh, my God. I actually think that this is good in some ways moving forward, because you've kind of kept your options open.
Yep. This says Markstrom super checked out. Team's no good, and his buddies are gone. I'd be shocked if he was back in October. This says, it kind of sounds to me like Jacob just wants to play hockey. Honestly, he's also probably just tired of talking about himself and the details of his career. I think he knows that he needs to share some aspects of his career simply because he's an NHL goaltender, but I think he also knows that some things are a need-to-know kind of thing, and he's entirely entitled to say, hey guys, can you back off please and let me figure out what I'm doing first before I tell the world. He's allowed to have his privacy, and that's that. That's from Brent in Calgary. I agree completely. I'm not being critical of Jacob in any way, shape, or form. Some people do not want to, as he said, don't want to get into it in the media, and that is fully his right, and I fully respect that right, and I'm not going to criticize him for exercising that right. But what it does is then, and this is just a byproduct of the world we live in, what that does is then open it opens things up on the outside, whether it's Pat and Wes or you around the water cooler or you around you at the bar on Friday night. It just opens it up for a little bit more speculation. That's what it does, and Jacob knows that as well as anybody else, that, you know, by not coming out and giving a black and white answer, well, then, yeah, it's going to have people on the outside asking questions, and that's fine with him. And I fully respect his desire for privacy because I think that it should be respected.
Yeah, but Jacob knew that the storyline today was going to be, and we've been talking about this on the air, I've been writing it, the storyline today was going to be what Jacob Markstrom had to say. And so, you know, whether Jacob Markstrom said nothing, whether he said, trade me, whether he said, I'd love to sign an extension here, whatever he said, it was going to be the story of today because of the curiosity that surrounds Jacob Markstrom, a player of his stature and ability level, a player who stoked the fires a little bit by taking a shot at management shortly after the trade deadline. For a lot of reasons, this is a sexy story. Not just in the Calgary media market would it be that way. Would be that way just about anywhere. And so we were going to be talking about Jacob Markstrom today because of the way he answered the question. And as you said, absolutely his right to give an answer that is sort of like a please buzz off. Because of the answer that he gave and others gave, we're sort of left to speculate.
Yep.
And really, buddy, you and I, we talked off air about this. Like, this was the way we kind of figured it was going to go.
100%.
I don't think we expected to have the answer today to, okay, well, what's Jacob Markstrom's future? I certainly don't think that was the case.
Let me read you a few more texts here at 960-960 as we continue along on this hour of Flames Talk. This one reads from Linda. I think Jacob cherishes his privacy and was not going to tell the media anything. He loves the team, and if the team's winning at the start of the season, I think he'll be open to staying. If the team's losing, he'll want out. This one from Andre in High River says, to me, he's screaming that he wants out without saying it. He's a great goalie, but is not suited to the spotlight that is a Canadian market. This from Ward in Calgary. It was as clear as mud. This reads, he would have said no if he hadn't been told he was a devil. This reads, Pat, just listening to Markstrom, I said the media and fans needed to stop the rumor mill and squash it. The fact it was still talked about going into the last game, he seemed really mad that it continued. I knew he was upset, but everyone just became relentless with it. It's really frustrating that it continued despite Markey saying he didn't want it to be in the conversation. If he leaves, I don't blame him. So those are just a few of the texts at 960. Honestly, after the trade deadline, I don't remember anybody talking about it. I don't remember it being brought up after the trade deadline. All my interactions with Jacob have been about hockey and hockey only for the last month and a half.
Yeah, I mean, there was the first media availability post-trade deadline where he was asked about his name being in the rumor mill, but I don't think that's sort of out of the norm.
This reads from Curtis in Copperfield. I'm sure Jacob Markstrom had the conversation with Conroy. He'll be traded. I feel like he took the high road on a few questions in order to keep the value high, in order to get a new competitive team. That's just a little bit of the Jacob Markstrom response on this Friday locker cleanout day. And again, kind of exactly what I expected. A guy who holds his cards close to the vest and a guy who held his cards close to the vest. And we'll see how it plays out. I think that the intel that is out there and the read that has been out there for quite some time, my read on the situation, had you asked me, as many people have over the last month on Flames Talk postgame, you know, what's your gut say on Jacob Markstrom? Well, my gut has said that, yeah, he'll probably not be back next season. And I guess that hasn't changed with what has happened today.
We're probably not done talking about this, buddy.
Probably not. Probably not. I personally, I'd like Markstrom to stay. I think that the best thing for the organization would be Jacob and Dustin Wolf as a tandem. I just don't know if that's going to be in the cards. I appreciate Jacob, his work ethic, his competitiveness, how absolutely 100% intense he is when it comes to hockey at all times. I really appreciate Jacob Markstrom, and I hope that he stays. But I also know that because he's so intensely competitive and because winning is the thing that drives him most, that being part of a retooling team may not be something that he is the most interested in sticking around for if he had the choice, which I do think he'll have more of a choice in than other guys might.
Yeah, and we don't have all the information. You know, we were unsuccessful in planting a bug in Craig Conroy's office today, so we don't know how that meeting with Jacob Markstrom played out. But the question now for Craig Conroy and Don Maloney and Brad Pascal and Dave Nonis and the hockey ops staff at the Saddle Dome, the question now is, would a split be best for both sides? And that's something you need all that information to figure out. You know, what is Jacob's feel on coming back? How adamant is he about playing for a team that achieves X number of goals or X goals next season? What's the future potentially look like without him? That's the next question in the debate is, would a move be best for both sides?
Yep.
And I don't know the answer. I honestly don't. But that is the information that Craig Conroy was trying to gather from Jacob Markstrom today. That was the information I'm sure Jacob Markstrom was trying to gather from Craig Conroy today. We'll see where it goes.
Pat and Wes along with you this hour on Flames Talk, and that's our look inside hockey on a Friday. For Calgary Co-op, Flames fans, meet Calgary, top products curated for Calgarians, and we mean every single one of you. Only available at Calgary Co-op. Visit them today.
This is Flames Talk. Join the conversation at 960-960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Coverage from the Saddle Dome and Locker Cleanout Day 2024 continues. Steinberg, Wes Gilbertson along with you. And now the Daily Flames Roundtable brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Race into spring with a freshly cleaned car. Book one of the 32 service bays at MercedesBenzCountryHills.ca and they'll revitalize your exterior paint finish. Gents, usually we do kind of two topics, kind of structured, that type of thing. That's not the way we'll do this one on Friday. As Derek West, Derek Wills, I'll say hello to Derek Wills, the voice of the Calgary Flames, to complete our Daily Flames Roundtable. It's a given, but thought I'd introduce him anyway. You know, all three of us were here from start to finish for Locker Cleanout Day, and this is one of those days where your head's kind of swimming. There's a lot of information. There's a lot to take in. So, you know, over the next 20 minutes or so, let's just kick it around. And it's a very broad question, but what were your big takeaways? Wilsey, we spent the first half of this hour talking a lot about Jacob Markstrom. That was the main part of the first half of this hour. So that could be where you go or just wherever. What were your big takeaways from Locker Cleanout Day 2024?
To be honest with you guys, Jacob Markstrom wasn't one of the bigger takeaways for me because he kind of handled today exactly how I expected him to handle today. And for me, that's the biggest story for the Flames going into the offseason. What does he want to do? What do they decide to do with a player who still has 2 years left on his contract? And I would say would be top three for Flames' most valuable player in the 2023-2024 season. For me, I think the biggest takeaway from today was the stark contrast between locker cleanout day last season and locker cleanout day this season, because there was a way different mood. Now, don't get me wrong. From the general manager to the head coach to the captain to all of the players who we heard from, and we heard from lots of them, most of them, there was a shared disappointment that the Flames didn't get to the Stanley Cup playoffs, that they won't play another game this season. But there also seemed to be much more optimism for what might be ahead for this team moving forward. And the one thing that we heard from almost all of the veterans and from the younger players who spoke today was that, you know, their mindset is going to be to go into the next season trying to be a playoff team. Now, I remember when Craig Conroy was hired and they held his introductory press conference, I asked the question, is your goal to be a playoff team, or said something like that. And basically he said, I actually asked him, is the expectation that this is a team that will compete for a Stanley Cup playoff spot next season? And he said, as currently constructed, yes, which in hindsight was a telling answer, because clearly the Flames were constructed a lot differently at the end of the season than they were at the start of the season. And that was one of the big stories last offseason. What are they going to do with the big pending UFAs? Well, five of the six got traded. And as a result, the Flames weren't as good a team at the end of the season as they were at the start of the season. But I think the players are wondering what the GM is going to do with all of those picks and prospects. Are veteran players who had career years going to be able to, if not duplicate them, come close to them? Are younger players who broke through this year, like Connor Zeri and Martin Pospisil and Dustin Wolf and Matt Coronato late in the season going to be able to take another step next season? And you know, how does this roster get supplemented through the draft, through trades, through free agency? So way more positive this year, guys, at least for me.
Yeah, Wilsey, I had a very similar takeaway in the sort of overwhelming optimism that you felt today. You know, I would say take the Jacob Markstrom scrum out of there, because we can maybe analyze and read between the lines on that one. It's a much different, you know, scenario given his name's been floated in trade rumors. I even thought, while Rasmus Anderson talked about how important it is to him to be playing for a hockey team that's going to be playing important games, I didn't, and I haven't gone back through and listened to it again. It's been such a busy day, but I didn't hear a guy who was saying, like, I got to get out of town. And the rest of it was just really, you know, there was a lot of optimism. We heard Mackenzie Weegar reiterate what it would mean to him to sort of be part of the solution, to see the other side of the retool. You know, we heard Michael Backlund talk about how supportive he is of the direction that this team is going. You know, we heard Nazem Kadri almost put his general manager hat on and talk about the picks that they have and the cap space and, geez, how, you know, what might we be able to do with this? And so I heard a ton of optimism. I also wonder, you know, the flip side of that and maybe the next part of this is, like, I sort of wonder where Craig Conroy goes from here, and then what the reaction among some of those players if, like, let's say Craig Conroy doesn't use that cap space. Well, I wonder what Nazem Kadri's reaction to it is if he doesn't think that they're chasing that playoff spot,
right,
maybe from a managerial level next season. I do wonder about that part, but today for me, and especially when you compare it to what we heard a year ago, like it felt night and day for a team that actually won the exact same number of games as last season, finished with fewer points. It just couldn't have felt like a more different tone here today at the Saddle Dome.
Yeah, and I think that the last or to kind of pick up on that, and the last point I'd make about that, because it was definitely one of my takeaways as well. But you know what I was really struck by, and I don't know what I was expecting on this front, but I was really struck by the fact that, you know, whether it was outside of Jacob, and I think we all understand the circumstances surrounding Jacob, and outside Rasmus Anderson, I think the thing that I was struck by was Mackenzie Weegar, Blake Coleman, Nazem Kadri. Those were the three that really jumped off the page to me. You know, all three of them kind of doubled and tripled down on, you know, this is where we want to be. We really believe in what Craig Conroy is doing here, and we want to be a part of the solution, and we want to be bus drivers to get this thing to its solution. And not that I was expecting them to say the opposite, or not that I was skeptical about it, but it just really struck me that a guy like Nazem Kadri, with 5 years left on his deal, how much have we read on the text line or heard out there, Nazem's not going to want to be a part of this, and here he is, and he was maybe the most adamant of everybody about how he's under contract and he wants to be a part of this thing and he wants to be a leader. You know, made the crack about how he's like, yeah, I really enjoy working with the young players. Who would have thought? I'm actually pretty good at it. Like I thought that was really interesting. And Blake Coleman was very adamant about that, and obviously Mackenzie Weegar was very adamant about that. I found that striking. I found that very interesting. And I think it's encouraging. And again, it's not like I was expecting not to hear it, but when you hear it from three guys like that, I thought it definitely resonated with me, especially knowing how this season went and where things might be going here.
Pat, I agree wholeheartedly. And let me ask you guys this. Is there a more polished player dealing with the media and the National Hockey League than Nazem Kadri?
It's pretty good.
He's outstanding. Holy smokes. And it really struck me again today. I know I've made that comment to you guys before, but you know, he said all the right things. So that was good to hear. And then, Pat, I'm glad you brought up Blake Coleman and Mackenzie Weegar, who were at the podium together. They were both really insightful. And I loved what they had to say. And I think my favorite comment of the day had to come from Blake Coleman when, you know, he looked over at Mac, as he would kept calling him today, just to poke the bear, and said, you know, we've enjoyed playing the role of underdogs throughout our careers. You talk about, you know, two guys who weren't expected to be long-term NHLers, two guys who on the wrong side of 30 had career years, and two guys who put their money where their mouth is by saying the right things, by being leaders on and off the ice, and by backing up what they were saying they wanted to see their teammates do by doing it themselves. And was there a better example of that than either of those guys? I mean, and then I guess the other takeaway for me today, fellas, and as you guys know, when the Flames decided to make a coaching change last offseason, I was a huge supporter of Ryan Huska. And that wasn't a knock on Mitch Love. That was just Huska came into the organization in 2014, 2015, the same season I started calling Flames games. And over the first 9 years, I got an opportunity to get to know him. And I just thought that he would be the perfect fit for a team that was going to go younger, but a team that still wanted to compete. I just think, you know, his personality and the way he goes about his business, I thought it was going to be a really good fit for this Flames team with where they were, where they are. So to hear universal praise for the Flames head coach from everybody, from the general manager and from all the players, I think that was really good to hear as well. And I'm guessing probably pretty good to hear if you're Ryan Huska. They like him, but they also respect him. And guys, we saw it and we heard it today. They had way more fun coming to the rink this year. And sure, coming to the rink when you're winning is way more fun than coming to the rink when you're losing. But if you're miserable coming to the rink when you're winning and when you're losing, I don't know how you have success living that sort of life. And last season, it really did feel like guys couldn't get out of the rink soon enough. And then Craig Conroy even brought it up today. So the team's final practice of the season, which was on Tuesday before they, or Monday, I guess, before they flew to Vancouver. Now, they know their season's come to an end in a few days, and the guys probably had as much fun at practice on Monday as they did all season long. So many positives for me today, which is, I know it's strange to say, and probably for our listeners to hear, because the team didn't get to where they wanted to go. They are on the outside looking in on the Stanley Cup playoffs, and we heard from every single guy, I think, that you know, it's painful to be watching the games on TV instead of playing them on the ice. But I do think that organizationally, they made some major strides this season. I do think that they really did start to build a good culture. And you know, the other thing is, and sorry to ramble on here, but Mackenzie Weegar talked about the black cloud. I really think it's incumbent on the players who spoke so highly of Calgary and so highly of the Flames today to do what they can to spread word around the league about the city of Calgary, Southern Alberta, what a great place it is to live. And as someone who spent almost his whole life in Southern Ontario and relocated here 10 years ago, I love it here. I absolutely love it here. So I know where the players are coming from. And then the Flames organization, first-class organization, you know, they treat these guys the right way. Oliver Shillington would be, I think, the most extreme and probably the best example of that. But I think it's incumbent on those players to start to spread the word around the league that this is a great city and it's a great organization and it's a place that players should want to be.
I know we don't have a ton of time, but let me just add one sort of...
Of course, well, we still got lots of time.
Minor takeaway. You know,
We'd only be cutting into the Francis Hour anyway.
Yeah. We'll be doing people a favor. I don't think I was surprised, guys, but I'm probably a little bit disappointed to hear how poorly represented the Flames will be at the World Championships unless we get some additions. And I suppose some of the guys that I think would benefit most from the opportunity are the guys who maybe haven't been asked because they're younger guys a little further down a country's list, or maybe were just reassigned to the Wranglers and, you know, aren't finished their seasons. But with Martin Pospisil being the only Flames player who at this point has accepted an invitation to Worlds, I know it's not the same as the Stanley Cup playoffs, and you know, I know it's a little bit of a party on wheels mixed with a hockey tournament, but when you hear all the talk about we want to play big games, we want to win something, I would have liked to hear a couple more Flames on their way to the World Championships.
Yeah, I think Pospisil is the one that we know for sure. We wait to hear. I think Andrew Mangiapane and Jonathan Huberdeau are two that we'd still be waiting on.
Yeah.
Michael Backlund first said that he was going to talk with Team Sweden and make a decision. I can't confirm. He has told them that he's not going to go. He's told Sweden that he will not be going. Now, apparently he sustained an injury. Where are we? March here. That Saturday night game against the Habs is when he sustained some sort of injury. So he's been playing through something since March 16th. So the last month of the season, Michael was playing through something. So he's not going to go. We heard Nazem Kadri say no. Mackenzie Weegar's got some nagging injuries. I guess blocking 200 shots will do that. You know, a lot of guys and some wear and tear. But yeah, I thought going in, Willsy, there would be a potential for a large number of Flames to go, especially knowing that they had been out as long as they had been, not necessarily the same type of crushing disappointment of being eliminated from the playoffs in Game 81 or Game 82. I thought maybe that would be more conducive to more guys saying yes to head to Prague, but yeah, so far just the one.
Yeah, it is a little bit disappointing because I do enjoy watching both the Stanley Cup playoffs and the World Championships, and you know, I think about how impactful Andrew Mangiapane was when he joined Team Canada, basically helped them turn their tournament around and won tournament MVP as he helped them win gold. I think it would be a great experience for some young players who haven't been there and done that. So Mangiapane's been there and done that, and you know, Michael Backlund's been there and done that, and has won gold as the captain of that team. So I kind of get it for veteran players who have had that experience already, but I think what would be super cool is if, you know, Team Canada, for example, goes down their list and gets enough no's from around the NHL, if, say, Connor Zary got an invite. I mean, he's coming off a really good rookie season, and I think it'd be a great experience for him to play for Team Canada. Plus, let's be honest, Sean Kelso needs some company over there, doesn't he?
He'll do just fine without he'll do just fine. Doesn't matter who's over there. He'll figure it out.
Yeah,
he knows what to do.
When your next best option is having a beer with Vix, you make friends pretty quick.
You're just throwing darts today, Wes. I love it.
I will say this. I got here at about 8:30, and the edge was palatable the minute I walked in the door on Friday morning. There is some edge among the old media.
Moody group today.
Yeah, I like edgy instead. It was an edgy group. 82 games of edge.
A lot of optimism at the podium. A lot of edge in the cheap seats.
Wilsey, I'm not exactly sure when we will wrap the Daily Flames roundtable for the season. Sometime next week. Just thought I'd say, as this is kind of the final regular broadcast day, final regular day of our regular season, just happens to fall on a Friday. Thank you so much for being there at 4:35 p.m. live every day, all season long. And we'll do some big picture stuff and wrap up the season next week, but thanks for all the roundtables this year, and thanks for always being punctual, even if we weren't.
Yeah, my pleasure. And Pat, I'll say this, your timing was definitely better this year, so some marked improvement there. And
thanks,
as
Dad.
You know, I really enjoy chatting with you on and off the air, and I really enjoyed having conversations with you, Wes, and Aaron and Logan. So I know the season didn't go the way the Flames wanted it to, but hey, there were plenty of things to talk about, some good, some bad, but I think a fitting day to wrap up the season, that 5-1 win on Thursday night, and a locker cleanout day that felt a lot different, a lot better than the one a year ago. So looking forward to chatting with you next week, and hey, I can't golf yet, so we might as well keep talking hockey.
Yeah, exactly. Have a good weekend, Wilsey. Thank you, pal.
You too, guys.
He's Derek Wills. He's Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. That is your Daily Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Race into spring with a freshly clean car. Book one of the 32 service bays at MercedesBenzCountryHills.ca, and they'll revitalize your exterior paint finish. As we start to wrap up this hour, Wes is going to be on a rather long hiatus here from Flames Talk. I don't think he's back. Well, he's back in May, so it's not like the longest hiatus, but won't be here the next couple of weeks. Enjoy yourself and where you're going. Enjoy yourself. It's all of it.
I appreciate that, and I will look forward to talking Flames with you come May.
The triumphant return some point in May of Wes Gilbertson. Be safe and enjoy yourself where you're going.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Apparently Vixie's listening today, so I have some reparations to make there too.
Yeah, there's probably a season's worth of reparations. Poor guy. Can't avoid it. Wes Gilbertson's on Twitter, at Wes Gilbertson. Thanks to Cam and Shan, our producers, this hour. And just an outstanding job by Cam and Shan all day on Locker Cleanout Day. It's a crazy fly-by the seat of your pants day, and those boys nailed it as well. So thanks to Shan and Cam. And that'll wrap us up this hour on the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockAndSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution.